Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, everyone, and this is the Friday postcast looking ahead to a wonderful weekend of action. And this is the day, Saturday, when the jump season ends and curtains come down at Sandown. And here at Punchestown, we've had a fantastic festival all week long. Looking ahead to the final day here and at Sandown, we've got Racing Post colleague Justin O'Hanlon, Rob Catterson from Paddy Power, and ace postcast regular Brendan Duke joining myself, Lee Mottershead. We'll move on to Punchestown and all the goodies to come here shortly. But first of all, Sandown's final card of the season, a day which we thought we might see Q Card bidding farewell on the track. He'll actually be parading alongside some other equine stars like Native River and Bouvet Dare. And in the race in which he was set to run, the Oaksy Chase, we've got Top Notch heading the market for Nicky Henderson and Daryl Jacobs, successful here with Footpad earlier in the week. Rob, is this a race you guys have priced up?
It is, yeah. We're 11-10 about Top Notch. He's been fairly consistent, I suppose, over the last two or three seasons. It's an 11-4 about Double Shuffle, who gets £6 from the favourite. Art Masquerade's 9-2, we're 7's Alcala, and we're 16's Bar.
Okay, Brendan, is Top Notch a horse you've taken to your heart?
I like Top Notch, but it must be said he failed the Q Card test in the Ascot Chase. Now, not many would have passed it. That was a savage test of jumping, and he did fail. And there isn't a Q Card to put his jumping under that kind of pressure here. Double Shuffle's rating flatters him slightly, I would say. I
mean, Tom George wouldn't agree with you.
He wouldn't, but we would have to say that Top Notch kicked him out of the way earlier in the season. That Ascot giving him £3, and I think he has the beating of him again tomorrow, and the rest aren't good enough.
Top Notch for Brendan, Top Notch for you.
Yeah, I was looking for a reason to get Top Notch beaten, and there's probably not a lot, as Brendan said, Double Shuffle, he's a bit in and out. If Top Notch is 80% of the horse that we've seen at Cheltenham and in the Peterborough races like that, he should win.
Okay, and Justin, as the wind whips around here, whoever's a parky up here, I might start shaking soon with shivers.
My ears are getting red already.
Top Notch.
Well, I suppose you have to ask yourself what sets the standard. Is it Top Notch's Ascot win or Double Shuffle second in the King George? But I say if Top Notch can repeat the Ascot form of November, he has Double Shuffle in his pocket.
Fantastic. Okay, we move on then to the Bet365 Celebration Chase. Of course, it's been a week for celebrations with a new royal baby, to which we say congratulations, don't we, to mummy and daddy? You say congratulations.
Yeah, I have absolutely no interest, but good luck to them. Yeah, yeah. It's a tough test.
It's a double barrel name, isn't it? Did they hear that right?
Lewis. Yeah. Anyway.
Lewis Alex or Lewis, something like that. Both names are actually quoted in the betting.
Yeah. So, were they really?
Yeah, so we'll probably pay out both as winners, even though I haven't been told that.
Okay, well done. Well, that's lovely.
Yeah. Double barrel names. I heard once that there was a fellow who rode in the Grand Military Gold Cup at Sandown one year with a double barrel name, which was spelled TOLLEMACHE. Hyphen the same spelling, but despite the fact that the two names were spelt the same, they were pronounced differently.
No.
So the fellow's name was Toolmake Tolmash.
Really?
Yeah.
That was a really amusing.
By the way, just going back to yesterday, Benedictine was that liqueur that they drink in Burnley.
Okay, yeah, Burnley. Yeah, we were discussing Burnley viewers and listeners yesterday. What were we talking about? The Celebration Chase, yeah. So, I mean, all week long, Paul Binfield, one of your colleagues, has been giving us some fantastic offers, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Out of this world.
Yeah, they've been very good.
I can see where this is going.
Yeah, so what sort of price are you going to give us to tempt us to steam into Altium?
Well, if I was Paul or if I was Paddy, I'd be able to do that. I don't have the power, but
Paul has more power than you.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. I'm only here on Friday. He's here all week, so that says everything you need to know. Listen, Altior. To guys who like to have big bets, having 20 grand to win four, whatever it is probably as good as it gets. He's 1-5. It's great to see him. What else do you say? You're looking for something in the betting without. You're looking maybe at the distance betting with Altior. He's impossible to oppose, isn't he? And again, if you're just looking for something at a price, I thought Armad on a Sandown form, we all know Gary Moore likes to target horses at Sandown. I thought if he could return to his best on ratings, he's got a chance of maybe finishing second to Altior, but I'll be sitting back and watching and I'd advise most to do the same.
Yeah, I think that's a very good
plan. I'd love to give you Evens Altior, but maybe in a couple of years' time when I'm higher up the pecking order.
If you're higher up the pecking order by then, you give Evans out to you, you'll be back down the pecking order very quickly. Brendan, is there any sort of bet in this race?
Well, I would just echo what Rob said. He wasn't reading my notes because he was looking at you at the time, but Armad looks like he could be about an 8-1 shot betting without, and you take a chance of that in a single creek form. But nothing. I was just looking at Altior's form for whatever reason, and last year's Racing Post comments on this race were bounded clear after the last. Another great word, bounded. And you could just plug that into any Altior race, couldn't you? He just bounds clear after the last.
That's got the mark of my dear colleague Jonathan Neeson all over it. He does like to use words that don't often appear in those comments in running. I remember he did one once, I think it was might have been the old Moët Hichon on Silver Magnum, and he used the phrase, I think it was, rider soon exhausted and fell off, which was quite original. Justin, again, Altior, Armad, any bet against Altior?
Well, not against Altior, but...
I meant any bet in the race doesn't involve Altior.
Well, this is God's Own's week normally when he comes here, so perhaps God's Own without. I think he's 12-1 straight, but without, what is he without?
All right, brilliant. And the big race at Sandown, 30 years on from Desert Orchid, winning the
Wimbledon.
Can you remember that? Look, 30 years.
Kildemo, was it? Run the skip?
Yeah, Graham Goo doing the call. I remember I had this is a little personal anecdote here. I used to have a VHS video of Desert Orchid's great races, and it was made before his Gold Cup winning season.
Wow.
So it sort of ended with the Whitbread.
Yeah. That's right. There was a book about him and a video. I actually was sent to Cheltenham one year, I think it was 1990 or 91. My granny had knitted a jumper with Desi on it. So I was hooked early.
He was a fantastic. I had to go and interview David Ellsworth, not long after he moved to Newmarket. At which point Desert Orchid was still there.
Yeah.
And he said, you know, go out and, you know, see him. Say hello to him. Everyone that comes here goes and says hello to Desi. So I went to see Desi and I had a packet of polos with me. So I gave Desi a polo and it seemed to take him an eternity to eat it. At that point in life, he was knocking on a bit. And he died shortly afterwards, bless him. But yes, wonderful horse. No Desert Orchid in the Bet365 Gold Cup. Black Lion heads the weights. It says he is 6-1, is that right?
That's correct, yes. So we're 6-1 joint favourites, Black Lion and the Cheltenham winner, Mr. Approach. It's 9-1 about the Manila horse. Rock the Casbah, the Young Master, Big Bad Johnner are next in the betting at 10s, at 12s. But I think the betting pretty much tells you it's not a great renewal, is it?
No, it's not. It's a competitive renewal, though. I backed Black Lion last week, thinking there wouldn't be a big field. There is a big field, so I got that one wrong. Who wins it?
Again, you're looking for value in a race like this. We're five places. I was going down the betting and I was just looking for something at a price. And given the way Colin Tizard's horses are running, Theatre Guide ran well in the race last year. He was third off a £3 higher mark. You're just looking for something here to return to its form, and the better ground might suit him. And he has a tendency of running well in a big race here and there. So I just thought Theatre Guide with Paddy Brennan on board in the Cue Car colours. 33s.
Yeah. Colin's been here this week, ran a big race as well, Dick. He had a good week. He enjoyed being here, it was obvious. Will you be tipping one of Colin's?
No, although he has the horses flying, and Finian certainly wasn't beaten when the incident happened. But
there was an incident.
There was an incident. Alan Sweetman described it as Gooboo, which is a fabled Irish acronym, and I think an appropriate one in this case.
Gooboo.
Grotesque, unbelievable, bizarre, unprecedented. I would say that there was some political storm in the 80s, and it's relative to that.
But okay, because I mean, for all those listening or watching in Surrey, that would be the explanation will have been appreciated.
Google Gooboo, Surrey. Google Gooboo.
Carry on.
Oh, Black Lion. So not particularly well handicapped. And curiously enough, this is the first time that he has run right-handed since Perth 4 years ago. But I don't think there's any significance in that. He just likes Haydock, Cheltenham, Twisty's backyards, basically. And he's probably too good for Perth at this stage. So I wouldn't worry about him going right-handed. And while you could argue he's not particularly well handicapped, he has a massive class edge. So I think the class edge makes him well handicapped, and I think he'll win.
Excellent news from Brendan Duke. Justin, give me more good news by saying you think Black Lion will win.
Well, I'll give you some breaking news. The ground is now soft here. It's after all the rain we've had this morning.
Right.
Asking me for my opinion about English handicaps is not normally a recipe for much success or profit. But Mr. Approach put up such a tough performance at Cheltenham. I think Black Lion will probably have to be a pretty good horse to give him £15. And that's as far as my thinking takes me on this one.
Okay, that's grand. And guys, anything else at Sandown before we move on to Punchestown? Moving the microphone.
I'll just give a quick mention to Holstone in the 455. He's just churning out these high 150 runs. If he churns out another one tomorrow, he'll win.
Excellent. Excellent. Rob?
Nothing at Sandown.
Nothing. And Justin? No. Nope. Nothing. Okay, guys, that then was part one. We return with a Punchy's Time preview in part two.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting prize favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Hello, folks. Welcome back to part two of this weekend postcast. And we're now looking at the action taking place here on the racecourse at Punchestown, where we speak to you just in advance of the Friday fair. So depending on what time you listen or watch this, the Traders' Championship might be completely sealed up or it might be wide open again. We don't know. You have the advantage over us potentially there. But we'll look at the two races without necessarily stressing the Traders' Championship angle, except that two men, Willie Mullins and Gordon Elliott, dominate both races. Rob, how do you guys bet on the Grade 1 Mares Hurdle at 350?
Yeah, what a renewal. It's the head-to-head from Cheltenham. We're 6-4 Apple Shade. She obviously had her excuses for getting beaten in the Mayor's Hurdle. She's putting her reputation on the line. Benny DeJude, the Cheltenham heroine, is 13-8. We're 8-1 Midnight Tour, of course, ran a blinder in Cheltenham. 14's Forge Meadow and Gerard's Girl. 16's Augusta Kate and 20's Bar.
And who wins?
To me, it has to be Benny DeJude. I was really impressed with the way she battled back after making a bit of a mistake at the second last. She looked a spent force and she still managed to get back up and win. I know Appleshade had excuses. They're saying she was in season and that, but the improvement Willie gets from his horses from Cheltenham to Punchestown is phenomenal. We've seen it this week. He should already have won all of the Grade Ones. And I think she's probably a little bit like Kavega. She's probably going to be in perfect order for Punchestown. Benny did you for me.
So you reckon the odds compellers have got it wrong?
Slightly
she's
wrong.
Favouring,
yeah, and she could go off favour come post time.
Appleshade.
No, Benny.
Benny did you?
Yeah.
Okay. Brendan, have the Paddy Power odds compilers got it wrong?
Well, I think they've got it wrong because Apple should be clearer of Benny did you in the betting, in my opinion. Well, she ran about half a stone below herself in Cheltenham, still only got beaten a length and a half. Last year at this meeting, she arguably put up a better run than she put up in Punchestown. I'll forgive her the excuse. I believe the excuse and forgive her that run in Cheltenham. And if she comes back to her best, I don't think Benny did a deal. See which way she went.
Justin, is it a two-mare race?
Well, it should be. And I would agree. I would agree with Brenda. I think you wouldn't have dreamed of getting 6-4 with Apple's Jade to beat Benny, did you, 2 months ago? And I mean, you have to be able to forgive her that run. There's no way that Midnight Tour gets within 15 or 20 lengths of her normally.
As many as that,
at least. And I think you have to be able to forgive Apple's Jade that. And I've no difficulty seeing her turning the tables with both of those tomorrow.
Would you back her at really short odds?
I'd certainly back her at 6-4.
Would you?
Yeah.
5-4?
I think I'd probably go as low as even money.
Would you really?
Huge,
huge confidence from Justin there. He won't say what he was going to say. I don't know what it was he was going to say, but he wouldn't say it. The other Grade One is at 4.25. This is the champion four-year-old hurdle and notable because, again, only two trainers have runners in this race. It's the third time, I reckon, there's been a Grade One in Ireland this season in which only Mullins and Elliott have participated. The Ryanair Hurdle over Christmas and the Ryanair Gold Cup Ferryhouse over Easter. It's also a rematch between the Triumph Hurdle 1-2, Far Class and Mr. Adjudicator. Have the Paddy Power boys come down in favour of one over the other?
No, we're joint favourites both. We're 9-4 Far Class and Mr. Adjudicator. Obviously, at the Dublin Racing Festival, there was very little between them, and Mr. Adjudicator got the better of Far Class then. Far Class obviously turned the tables in Cheltenham. 11-4 Stormy Ireland. Saglawi, of course, won in Ferry House, is next in the betting at 7s, and it's 20s bar.
Okay, and is it between Far Class and Mr. Adjudicator?
I'm going to give Stormy Ireland one more chance. It was very sweetener in Cheltenham. Like Apple Shakira, she ran all too free. I think around here, similar to when she won at Ferryhouse, she'll be a lot more suited. David Mullins has had a brilliant week. Just the way they talk about her, even since then, Willie, he's in awe of her nearly. Not as much as Lorena, but he thinks an awful lot of her. And I just think she might right that wrong from Cheltenham.
Speaking about horses that like to make the running, Brendan, just say some warm, wonderful words about Faheen.
Yes, wasn't it absolutely marvellous? And I sense you might have had a little tickle on him as well, Lee.
I thought about how. Do you know? Now, this I shouldn't say this because this sort of does my own sort of product down. But I went to about to go to bed on Wednesday evening, and I was thinking, I'm going to have a little bit on Fahin. And I just went back onto the Racing Post website, which of course now has all the videos again of all the RUK ATR videos, just to watch back the champion hurdle. And I watched it back and I thought, he's gone at the game. So if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't used the excellent service now available to Racing Post users, I'd be a bit richer.
Yes, indeed. Paralysis by analysis, that one, Lee, because I have to say, when we were on the last pod here, you were trying to steer me towards Fahin, and it was marvellous to see. I mean, the other jockeys should be ashamed of themselves for what happened at the start, but ultimately it didn't make any difference. But to give a horse like that an 8-length start is a bit ridiculous. But it was great to see, and the crowd rose to him as a man.
Lovely controversial stinging words as well there from Brendan Duke on the jockeys riding in that champion stayers hurdle. Justin, give us your take on the juvenile hurdle.
Yeah, it's fascinating. Farclad and Mr. Adjudicator time for the third time. Nothing between the two of them. Farclad just probably outstayed him maybe a little bit at Cheltenham, and of course his jumping was that little bit much improved as well. I can't pick between the two of those. I do agree with Rob. I think Stormy Ireland might just around this flatter track, and of course she was only her second run over hurdles the last day at Cheltenham. I think she's a strong candidate to do the two of them.
Excellent. Okay, and guys, before we ask you the best bets at Pungie Sound, just say $100,000 Ballymore handicap hurdle at 5:35. Again, notable because if Willie Mullins runs all his horses, he will have a world record 14 runners in that race, which is more horses than most people have in their yards in one race.
And he had 20 entered.
Did he have 20 entered?
Yeah.
He's got 14 in there. Does one of Willie's win it, do you think?
Possibly. It's a race he's got a really good record in, and he tends to win it with a pretty big price horse. He probably will. I thought Joseph's horse had a good chance early doors. I'd say Barry Gerty now would do anything for a big winner this week. He's fairly consistent. He's high enough up the weights, but I just thought early doors might give Joseph and Barry and JP the last laugh.
Okay, excellent. And guys, anything else in that race that we like? It must be loads.
Yeah, I like Joey Zaza of Noel Meads, who ran well here the other day. Yeah. Stays the trip. Won at Downpatrick over 2-3. And, I definitely think there's a big handicap in that horse. I think he could be the one to beat.
Fantastic. And Brendan?
Well, Dream Berry caught plenty of people's eyes in Cheltenham, and of course was second at the meeting last year. Looked like his improvement last year at Aintree and Punchestown coincided with spring ground, but I think he's just an improving horse. I wouldn't be worried about the ground, and it would bring his stamina into play. So maybe John Joe will get a bit of cheer at the end of a difficult season tomorrow.
Yeah, it has been. A number of big yards have had disappointing seasons in Britain and in Ireland. Relative to those making the pace. Guys, anything else across a really good Punchestown fifth day? Justin?
Yeah, I was actually quite interested in the opening Banks race, which is a real sort of crossover between good Banks form and good Park form. But I know he's given way to way all round, but Hurricane Darwin of Alan Fleming and Barry Connells, he is the class act of this race, and he had a nice run when he finished fourth on his first run over Banks here in February, when he was, I think that the waiting tactics were a little bit overdone, shall we say. And up against the Bulger 2 who ran here yesterday, Josie's Orders, and my hometown, who wasn't stopping when he was in front. But I think Hurricane Darwin might surprise a few people there in that opener.
Okay, Brendan?
No, just one for you in the Banks race, because again, the last pod we were at, it was memorable for me, Lee. I don't know about you, but...
They're always memorable.
Oh, thanks very much. But you mentioned that, why hasn't Willie Mullins got a cross-country horse?
Yes.
Willie Mullins has found a cross-country horse.
He never has.
He has the Crafty Butcher, who's a horse that they love backing because they think he's well-handicapped. And if he were well-handicapped and took to the Banks, he'd probably win this. Now, I know ratings don't necessarily... It's the lawn to itself, this Banks. Yes. But Willie's getting in on the cross-country action.
He's had Uncle Junior for years running those races, so he's not exactly.
Oh, yeah. He's owned by one of your colleagues as well.
Which one?
Mr. Paul Byrne.
What, all his own?
Well, there's a few of them.
Really?
A rugby player, I think, a rugby player as well.
Right.
Sean O'Brien, is it? Somebody like that? A famous rugby player, anyway. Owns one of the other legs. Yeah.
I had a tiny bit of a horse that was pulled up at Newton Abbott on Monday.
All right, I remember you talking about it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
You got big odds and the bookie rubbed it out and put up a bigger price.
it was all very unfortunate. The Banks race, you say, the Latouche Cup, which we very sadly lost Cantlow after the race, just shows you how long those races go on. We had a shower during the race that started during it, finished during it, and only seemed to take place around part of the track. Like, down the middle of the track it was dry, and out here racegoers were running for cover. Rob, did I get your other fancy punchy sound?
There's two real good handicap chases. The Stain handicap chase, Forever Gold. He loves this race. He's run it for the fourth time. He was second the last 2 years. He ran a blinder in the Irish National. He's probably the one horse in training that 3-6 on heavy ground probably isn't far enough for him. It won't be as testing as it was at Ferry House, but I can see him run well. If you're looking for a horse with stamina, and Eddie Colley's horses are running well, I thought he had a chance. And in the bumper, Born to be Wild for Peter Fahey. There's been serious support for Peter's in the bumper today. Katie Walsh rides the one tomorrow. I'd heard a little bit of word about it a couple of weeks ago. So if Peter's runs well today, Born to be Wild in the bumper tomorrow before the charity race, of course.
Yeah, in the charity race, Gordon Elliott, a handful of runners in that one, only worth €10 to the winner. But of course, you know, if it's going to be tight, then that might make a difference. Although I don't think, actually, the charity race cash counts in the trainer's champion, does it? I don't think it's on the rules, the charity race.
It's not on the rules of racing, so it doesn't count for anything. It doesn't count in the stats. No.
But if it did, €10. Imagine if that made the difference. I mean, it's very hypothetical. But even so, okay, that was...
We're looking for a recount now of that.
Yes, yes. That was part two. We'll come back and wrap up the weekend in part three.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
Welcome back to the final part of our weekend postcast with myself, Lee Mottiser, Justin O'Hanlon, Rob Catterson from Paddy Power and Brendan Duke. As we speak on the big screen here, they're just building up to the finale of the Best Dressed Lady competition. There have been some sparkling outfits on show here at Punchestown, including from some members of the postcast team.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they could be dressed, man, and this crew, yeah.
Absolutely. Guys, across Saturday, Sunday, maybe Saturday first, anything else we want to mention that we like? There's Leicester's Day in the Sun there on ITV, the listed race. Haydock, good stuff elsewhere. Justin, you're looking at me with a funny face.
Well, don't ask me about them. I'll go to Goran on Sunday if you like. Or do you want to wait?
Well, let's hold on Sunday.
Right. Nothing else.
How was your lunch yesterday?
Oh, it was delectable, I think is the word, yeah.
Delectable. A word said about you on many occasions as well, I'm sure. Yeah. Rob, any?
Yeah, just the one at Haydock in the 205. Pretty good race. Calder Prince for Tom Dascombe and Richard Kingscott. He's a course and distance winner. He was a good winner on his most recent start. And if there's one jockey around Haydock, it's definitely Richard Kingscott. Yeah. He's nearly unbeatable. So he's about a 6-1 chance with us. I thought he was good value. Calder Prince, 205 Haydock.
Good man, Brandon. You sort of like we're nodding during that.
No, I'm interested to hear, lads. Unfortunately, I'm in a bit of a Punchestown bubble, Lee, and I haven't got anything else for you on Saturday.
Well, that's all right. Your Punchestown inserts have been valuable. So that's more than enough. Sunday, Justin, you want to talk about Gowran?
Hopefully the meeting goes ahead. The ground is very heavy there at the moment. They're expecting rain. And it's being monitored according to the, I was almost going to say the turf club, the IHRB. But there's a few running at Gorn on Sunday which are of interest. The first race at 150 is a Phillies handicap. One I think would have a big chance there is Prove the Point for trainer Mick Mulvaney. She doesn't win very often, but she's a good one. Went second at Leopardstown last time on heavy ground. Trainer's in very good form at the start of the season and has a nice weight. She could take a bit of beating. The 220 is a very interesting looking listed race. And there's a couple of real unknown quantities there towards the bottom. A couple of three-year-olds that have won one, that are one out of one. Hand on Heart of Fozzie Stacks, which won at Limerick last week. And most importantly, Jaga of Dermot Wells won very impressively in a maiden at Leopardstown at their student meeting a couple of weeks ago. And it's obviously very interesting that Dermot has thrown this one into stakes company straight away. And she could take a fair bit of beating there. And the best one of all at Gorn on Sunday may well be one of John Ox's Comera Hayes. Has a bad draw, but I think might be able to overcome it in the maiden at 2:55.
Okay, we could say John Ox has some nice horses this year.
I think he does have some nice horses this year.
Good, well, that'd be great. Guys, well, on Sunday, Longchamp, it's the official reopening, although they've already opened it a few times this year, but this is the official opening when they get out all the nice macarons and all the beautiful pastries for the dignitaries. Cracksman goes in the Pre-Ganay, Rhododendron in that race. Some of the star names in there too, Cloth of Stars. Yeah, really good Ganay.
Absolutely, right to 15 cracks, and great to see him so early in the season as well. And he had a recent gallop. He's impossible to impose. You'd say maybe first time out might be a worry, but Rhododendron having her first run of the season as well. Clotha Stars has had the benefit of a run, but you'd like to see Cracksman winning and maybe go on to the Tattersall's Gold Cup and end off with the Ark at the end of the season, maybe Breeders' Cup. It'd be brilliant to see him at the top level right throughout the year.
And I'll tell you what, let's throw a real quick curve ball. Come the Ark, first Sunday in October, if Cracksman and Enable meet, who wins?
Well, who does Frankie ride for starters? That's a pretty tight one. I suppose Enable maybe just getting the fillies allowance. They're very, very hard to split. I think Cracksman obviously was beaten in an Irish Derby, he was beaten at Epsom. She looks more rock solid. I suppose the key is who trains on from 3 to 4, but just maybe her. She just looks to have that bit of more wow factor than he does.
Okay, well, we're going to learn plenty on Sunday and then over the months to come. Flat season really getting into gear next week, 2,000 guineas and 1,000 guineas at Newmarket. Before that, though, cracking jumping at Sandown and Punchestown. Best bets time to wrap up the program. It's bitter out here. Brendan, your best bet of the weekend?
My best bet, if I could just very briefly, I've suddenly become uber excited and I have to piggyback on Justin's work because I didn't know she was running, but that Jaga is an absolute weapon. Gorgeous big scopy filly, moves like a ballerina. She's not in the Oaks, but if you got any hint that Dermot Weld was going to put her in the Oaks, I'd say she's a bet for it because she'll win on Sunday.
I think the Gusden filly, the one that Newbury Maiden wins the Oaks. Yes, is it La-ti-da?
Yes.
But she was very impressive as well. But Jager for me. But hopefully they meet.
Yes.
Apple's Jade for me. She looks the better the weekend.
Apple's Jade for Brendan. For Rob,
Stormy Ireland and the Juvenile Hurdle.
Stormy Ireland. And for Justin,
have what you like on Apple's Jade.
2 for Apple's Jade, then 1 for Stormy Ireland. This was the Weekend Postcast. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your punting, enjoy your racing, enjoy your weekend, and join the team for the Monday review coming up on Monday. Goodbye.
Get your hooves into this cracking offer from Paddy Power. It's money back as a free bet on all losers if the starting price favourite wins on at least one race every day of the Punchestown Festival. Find out each day's race online at paddypower.com. Max free bet £10. T's and C's apply. 18 plus. Begambleaware.org.